Blog Talk Radio.
Another day of the Choose to Joy broadcast, and it's been a great week. We've been dealing with healing, and I got a great guest. Before I bring him on the line, this show today is brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. That's GloryGiftStore.com. We can find everything Christian, from Christian DVDs and books, Bibles in every translation, jewelry, T-shirts, and even homeschooling products for every grade. If you're an administrator at a church, GloryGiftStore.com has communion products, offering products, and even clergy robes. So stop by GloryGiftStore.com today. That is GloryGiftStore.com. And also there's a promotion. If you go to GloryGiftStore.com and type in the promotion code ChooseToJoy, then you will get 15% off any product. So shout out to my sponsor, and man, I thank God for having a sponsor on the internet podcast show. So that's a blessing. I got a special guest. This is Healing Belongs to Us number 3, and this is man, just a dear brother in the Lord who has a powerful testimony. And we hope to get to as much as we can. We're trying to work out seeing if he'll be available tomorrow. And I believe he'll definitely be able to do Friday. So, Brother Brandon, let me see if I can punch you in. Brother Brandon Robertson, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hallelujah, man. Man, thanks for coming on, man. And we're going to just try to hop right on in this. We got 27 minutes, Brother Brandon. So, I feel like I know so much about you. You told me so many supernatural things that's went on in your life, and especially when you was going through 3 years of the enemy convincing you that you blasphemed the Holy Spirit. But before we go into that, I want to ask you: Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Yes, I grew up in a Christian home. My family, we went to a non-denominational church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And, yes, we walked in all the light we had. My parents loved the Lord.
Go ahead. Did you end up getting saved or born again in that church?
I believe I was born again in that church. I remember getting convicted. Every time the pastor would minister, I'd get convicted and go up and just tell the Lord I was his, and he could have my heart. We weren't really taught how to really walk in a lot of things that I know today, but I do know if I knew the Lord was telling me something to do, I would do it.
Right. And so you actually got to experience a bit of God's power at that church, right? Did you get healed one day of something?
Yes. When I was young, I used to have, the doctor kept saying it was iron poor blood. I would be tired and weak all the time. And my mother really, she'd taken me to the doctor so many times about it, and they couldn't find anything wrong with me other than, you know, what they were coming up with. And she decided that she would just call for the elders of the church and have them anoint me with oil and pray over me. And I remember after they prayed over me, everything that was wrong with me before had left. So I was fine after that. I was able to just have plenty of energy and do what I needed to do. So really remember feeling anything or, you know, But I just know that before they prayed, I was one way, and after they prayed, I was another. So it was wonderful.
Yeah. And that's totally scripture. She got that from the scripture. That's in James, which says, call for the elders of the church and anointed with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. I wonder why we do. It seems like every church should do that, huh?
Amen. You know, it's in there to do. Amen. It's in there to do that. And it worked for me. Praise God.
Amen. So you grew up kind of in a Christian home, and then you grew up. And so is there somewhere in there, maybe in your teens or somewhere, that you turn away from the Lord?
Yes. There was just a lot of pressure, peer pressure at school. And, you know, we didn't learn or know how to fight against it. And, you know, really, we just figured everybody was going to sin all the time, because that's just kind of the way it was. So if we sin, we just ask for forgiveness. So it wasn't anything for us to just, you know, do whatever. Well, okay, and then just get forgiven. You know,
man, that's what I thought, too, growing up. I thought that it's such a deceiving spirit from the enemy, but I thought you had to sin. I thought when you grow up, you had to drink, you had to go out and fornicate. I just thought it was a part of growing up. I thought you had to do it. If I didn't meet my pastor's son, I would have thought my kids would have had to grow up the same way.
Yeah, I mean, you just all them worldly statements, like you got to sow your oats, whatever they come up with, you know, you just receive and then go do it and just make a mess of your life.
When you was in the world or you're starting to stray away from the Lord, is there anything that you would say that was your biggest vice or something that really got a hold of you that you really didn't want to stop or really had trouble quitting?
Well, I guess my main thing was just fornication.
Yeah.
You know, it was terrible that once I had been with a woman, it just, you know, it threw my life out. So that's kind of all I live for. And I did drugs and things like that, but nothing ever seemed to, you know, really get a hold of me. I smoked weed and I drank, but, it pretty much everything, it seems like, now that I think about it. This world, it pulled me in, and before I knew it, I was just sucked into doing everything. And
I was telling you earlier that you seem like two people to me, because when I look at you, I've been knowing you for a few years now. When I look at you, I say, man, he could never been doing any drugs. And on the same tip, I look at you and say, man, he looks like he used to do a bunch of drugs when he was young. I don't know how that works. I don't get it.
I don't either. But, you know,
you was a chimney, though, huh? You did a lot of drugs, huh?
I did a lot of drugs. You know, there was so much just growing up, you know, not just in high school, but then in college. I mean, it was just, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And no matter, you know, where you went, it was everywhere. And it just, you could have it anytime you want. If you didn't have the money, somebody would always be giving some out. So it just, you know, there's no way around it. Just, you know, if you didn't have Jesus to bring you out and show you what to do, I mean, you was in it. And I jumped right in. And just lived a life of misery and hell for years.
This is Brother Eric, and I'm talking to Brother Brandon Robinson on the Choose the Joy broadcast. Let me ask you this, man. I got to ask you about this. But when did you start doing karate?
I started.
You must have been. You must have been really high to start to have a thought.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When I started karate, I was young. My mother and father put me in it because I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself. So they wanted to put me in something, and it really did. It helped me to just see I could do something.
Right.
And so that you know, put confidence in me. I would go to tournaments and win, and it just made me feel a little bit better about myself. You know, like I
was going to say, like you must have been pretty good because you became you ended up becoming a black belt or at the top of the whole thing, didn't you?
I did. I used to compete in tournaments around the nation, and I was just high ranked at one point, number one, and things. And I had a good time with it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But you know, I don't do it near as much as I should nowadays.
Your whole deal, I mean, you're like 6'4", 6'5". I would have never thought that you would have been a ninja or, you know, or somebody in martial arts. But I guess I can see it now. I bet you used to kick some butt back in the day.
Back in the day, I tore it up. You know, I was real short when I was little.
Okay.
And all these big guys would get beside me because I was the shortest in my division.
Right.
And everybody tried to, you know, they'd line up beside me thinking they was going to beat me up. And then they'd end up getting beat in just 30 seconds to a minute, you know, and go, what happened?
What happened? This little kid just whipped me.
I can see you. I can see you doing it, man.
Hey, man, that
okay,
was fun.
So you do martial arts, and we'll talk about this later, but I do want to talk about it because I heard that the way you met your wife is she was one of your students. Is that correct?
She was one of my students.
You like almost kicked her or something when she fell in love.
You had to bring this up. You know that. I love you. Yeah, my wife, she told me she didn't want to be treated like, you know, girls in there. She wanted to experience, you know, if she was in a real situation, kind of what, you know, she wanted to be put there. And so this was before, you know, we even had anything for any, you know, for each other. And so I said, all right. And when I said go, I just hauled off and hit her right in the face. I saw her get kind of scared, but she hung in there with me. I thought, man,
yeah,
God,
you fell in love with me right there.
I'm telling you.
That is hilarious. When I first heard that, I was on the floor rolling, man.
But I remember, though, when I first met her, Eric, I went and told my mother. I said, Mom, I said, I met a girl today that if I ever get a chance to marry her, I'll marry her.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
And sure enough, praise God, it came to pass. I'm so thankful for my wife.
Was it before that or after that when you made the decision, I guess for the first time, to surrender your heart to the Lord?
It was after that.
And what happened?
Well, I had been reading my Bible and just really didn't know how to practice what I was reading, in other words.
Right.
And we had been together. We'd had two kids. And I just kept getting in my heart that I need to surrender. And I read a book called The Blood and the Glory by Billy Graham. And she was talking about surrendering your heart to Jesus, you know, him making him your Lord, you know, not just being saved, but really giving your heart to where you'll do anything he said. And when I read that, I thought, man, I've never really done that. You know, I believe in to be saved and salvation. I believe I'm born again. And I knew he had spoken to me just in times past, but never where he just tells me what to do all the time.
Right.
And so I sought and called my mom, and I said, Mom, I said, I believe I'm going to surrender my heart to Jesus. And I said, I'm going to come over, and I want you to pray with me. So I went to my mother's house, and she got in there, and she was talking to me about, you know, how she'd been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. You never told us that. Well, she had, you know, she had just kept quiet about it for about 2 years. And so we were kind of talking about that, and then she kind of talked to me if I was interested, and I said, I am, but really I just want to surrender.
Right.
So she anointed me with oil, put some oil on her finger, and prayed over me. And now while she was praying, it felt like something was happening, but I just couldn't explain it.
Right.
And she got done praying, and I got in my truck and I headed to the house. And on my way home, I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, something descends on me in my truck. Now, I didn't know what it was at the time, but it was the Holy Spirit. He descended on me. And I never felt anything like that, because I knew something just happened. And it felt like just another person came on the inside of me. And I heard him say this. He said, speak. And I said, huh? You know, he said it again. He said, speak. And I said, well, what do you want me to say? He said, yeah, you know, I didn't know what to say. He said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. And so all of a sudden I opened my mouth, and what came out of me was just this beautiful, wonderful language.
Yeah.
And I knew what it was. I read about it. I read, you know, in the Bible that people spoke in tongues. And I said, Lord, I'm speaking in tongues. He said, just keep going. So I just kept going. And I kept praying all the way home. I went in and was telling my wife, she done thought I lost my mind. He's saying, what is going on with my husband? He's all crazy. Because I was just, whatever happened to me that night was just wonderful, you know. And I went crazy for the Lord after that. He started talking to me, which is the first time, you know, I really had him tell me. He was telling me everything to do, how to fix my hair, what to wear. And amen, praise God.
So that day you got really surrendered your heart to the Lord, and you got filled with the Holy Spirit,
yes,
speaking in tongues. And then you was on fire for God.
I was on fire. I went crazy, and it seemed like everybody I talked to just told me I was crazy. I mean, they didn't know what to think.
How long after that? Because the point we're trying to reach in, and like I said, Lord willing, we'll be able to really dig into it tomorrow. But how long after that was it when you got a seed of deception that the enemy told you that you had blasphemed the Holy Spirit?
Well, it all started about 38 days after that.
Wow.
After I got filled by the Holy Spirit, there was so much coming at me that I just shut down, and I didn't want to obey any voice talking to me. There was just, I didn't know what I was hearing. I just got into everything was coming against me, and I just shut down. And when I shut down, the enemy started telling me I was going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And I kept fighting that off, you know. No, I'm not going to do that. You know, he was tempting me. And I just kept telling him, I'm not going to do that. And this lasted for a couple of months. And then all of a sudden we get to the point where he came and did some things in my mind and just really deceived me, making me think that I had really blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And
looking back on that moment, what would you have done differently if you know what you knew now?
I would have had confidence in that the greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I didn't understand really or have the wisdom to know who was speaking to me at the time and how using authority to get him out.
Okay.
You know, that I could just tell the devil to leave, and he had to leave. But I sat there and I entertained thoughts. And really the Bible says in 1 Corinthians to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And it was coming at me so much that I wasn't casting anything down.
Right.
And before you know it, it was just a bombardment of thoughts from the enemy. And I didn't know what, you know, and
so
if
somebody was dealing with that today, what would you tell them to do if somebody was dealing with those kind of thoughts from the enemy, telling them that they have blasphemed the Holy Spirit?
You know, it's really knowing what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is.
Okay.
You know, it's you know, if I knew the Lord was speaking to me, basically you deny Jesus after you've done been saved, and you know for sure that you walked with the Lord for a while, and then you turn your back on him and tell him no.
You don't want to have nothing to do with us.
Yeah, you don't want to have nothing to do with him after you know he's your Savior. You know, and that's not what I was doing.
Okay.
You know, and the enemy had deceived me, you know, that's what I had done. And I said, no, I will do what the Lord said. I just don't know who's talking to me. And it just got so I got so confused, you know. And when you're really in darkness, when you backslide from just believing what the Lord's told you.
Right.
You know, the enemy takes you to a dark place that you can't, you know, I tell my kids, if you go turn out the light and look in your room and try to figure out what things are, you're never going to figure it out until you flip the light on. So what he did was just deceive me and brought me into a dark place where I couldn't see anything. I was so confused and tormented because I was deceived.
You explained to me how much darkness you was walking in. Give me a few examples or experiences you went through during these 3 years that was supernatural that you can explain. You had plenty of experiences like that.
Well, I had, you know. The enemy would all the time just tell me, we'll go to kind of some dark ones and some good ones, but he would just tell me all the time, you know, there's no reason for you to be alive, you know. Sure. Just go ahead and take yourself out. You know you're going to hell anyway. You know what I mean? Just it was a constant torment. Every day, all day long, the enemy bringing me you're going to die tomorrow. You're going to die in 10 minutes. It was just crazy. So I laugh about it now, but I mean, it really wasn't funny when I was going through it, to be honest with you.
You was really scared.
I was really terrified. I mean, I was a wreck. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't hold a conversation with people. You know, it's like the Bible says you're cursed coming in and cursed going out. When you choose not to believe and do what Jesus said. Yeah, that's the way it was. And I just felt like every time I went out.
Were there some moments that you thought you was going to die?
There were. I remember one night, of course, I'd had heart trouble for years. And the Lord healed me from heart trouble, but it came back on me as I got into this darkness because the enemy had just told me that. Everything's coming back on you, you know, and I believed it, received it. And so one night I'm laying in my bed and my heart goes out of rhythm. And, you know, when you have a sickness, you're well acquainted with the symptoms that go along with it. And so I knew my heart was going out of rhythm. It had been out plenty of times, but it just seemed like it was getting worse and worse and worse. And really to the point I'm thinking I'm fixing to die. And I'm laying in bed with my wife, and, you know, we kind of having an argument because back in those days, that darkness, it messed me up. I argued about anything. And I heard this voice say to me, your wife has the Holy Spirit. just have her lay her hands on you and you'll be healed. And I said, okay. You know, that sounded good to me, right? Especially when I think I'm about to die. So I looked over, I said, honey, I said, will you lay your hand on my chest? I said, because my heart is going out and I'm about to die. I mean, whatever came out. She kind of folds her arms and looks at me, you know, like I was crazy. So I just turned back over and said, well, I'm going to die. Here we go. I actually, you know, gave up. But as I'm laying there, you know, fading out, I feel this hand. I mean, it just comes over and slaps me right on the chest there. And when it did, I just felt like somebody took warm, perfect whole blood and poured it over my whole body.
Wow.
And my heart straightened up immediately. And my wife told me, she said, there was a glow on you, and it lit up the whole room when I did that.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, Eric, it was just the most wonderful feeling I'd ever had. And I laid there and was crying, saying, Lord, why'd you save me? You know, here I am thinking I'm just this pitiful wretch. And then the Lord saves me, and I'm going, why are you saving me? He was telling me, I love you. Get it? But it, you know,
if she had to, let me ask you this. If she had to put her hand on you, are you convinced that you would have died right there?
Yes, I believe that.
Wow.
Yes. I had another instance almost like that, but this time I was laying on my stomach, and mm-hmm. something came on me. It felt very dark and wrapped around my whole body. And it was real dark, and I felt like my bones were drying out. It was nasty. And I even tried to get Beth's attention, and I couldn't get her attention. And I said, I'm fixing to die. This was after this, really up to the point where I got set free. And I was laying there, and I said, well, I can't. There's nothing I can do about this. I'm just going to die. And Eric, when I thought that, I felt this presence come in my room that felt just awesome. Now, at the time, I didn't know what it was, but it descended on me and laid on top of me, and I could feel it wrap itself around me and then pull off of me whatever was on me and then lift it up out of the room.
Wow.
At the time, I didn't know, but the Lord told me. He said, your angel that watches over you came and delivered you.
Hallelujah.
The Lord had him do that. And I thought, and, you know, here again, I'm like, Lord, why in the world do you keep saving me? You know, the Lord's trying to show me his love, but you know, sometimes you're in such darkness, the light can come, and you still don't, all you see is that darkness. All you see is the mess. You know, rather than
Brandon,
God
we got 90 seconds left, man, and just will you pray for anybody who might be going through tormenting thoughts, and just pray a prayer over them, and just pray a prayer of salvation too, if you would.
Amen. All right. Father, I just pray for anybody out there who is going through anything, any tormenting thoughts, or anything that's coming against them. Now, I bind Satan, and I command him to take his hands off of you in Jesus' name. You loose him and let him go. Now, Father in heaven, I just thank you for delivering them, for helping them, for setting them free. And, Father, if anybody out there is not saved or wants to be saved and wants to make Jesus your Lord, pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe.
You're the true Son of God.
You're the true Son of God.
God sent you on this earth to die for me
and
take away my sin.
Take away my
sin. I believe on the third day, God's mighty power raised you from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
And save me.
And save me.
And change me.
And change me.
I confess you
as my Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Thank you so much,
Amen.
Brandon. We're completely
Amen.
Out of time, but we're going to pick it right back up tomorrow, Lord willing, and definitely on Friday. The Lord
Amen.
Already opened that door up on Friday. So thank you so much for just sharing your testimony and opening your life up, man. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast, Healing Belong to Us, number 3, brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. Go ahead and visit that store today or the website today. Thanks again, Brandon, and we'll try to catch you tomorrow, man. I love you.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.